'Cause who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler, if you think old England's done?
My name is Ben Kellett, and I was the executive producer and director of the Dad's Army of the Lost episodes. Well, the whole process of making the Lost episodes was a rather long one. Tom Weber, whose idea it was, asked me one cold morning in BAFTA if he had this idea, would I be interested in making it with him? And I said I was extremely interested because I'm passionate about audience sitcom, particularly about Dad's Army, which I have watched ever since I was a child. And I also knew, which I don't think Tom realized at the time, I also knew Jimmy Perry. So it was a huge win-win and felt like an enormous bunch of Christmases had come at once. When it came to casting, I think it was the most important point of the production in many ways for many of the individual parties involved. Because we had the estates of Jimmy and David, who were keen that we cast it in the right way. We had UK TV, where we ended up making the shows for, obviously. And we had ourselves, a casting director, Catherine Willis, who's brilliant. So we had a lot of people to satisfy with the casting. And it took a long time to assemble our brilliant cast ensemble. I think Catherine did an amazing job putting it all together. Now, you know, watching it now, you kind of think, okay, who else could we possibly have asked? It just felt, you know, we ended up with a wonderful ensemble of really, really top-notch actors creating that ensemble, and it's just a real pleasure to me. When it came to shooting, we had a variety of sources for each of the three episodes, actually. Obviously, the programmes didn't exist. There was an off-air recording of one of them. There was just audio. So that, of course, gave us the truest representation of what had been recorded. We had programmers broadcast scripts for all of them, because I asked Tom to find them from the BBC archive, which was no mean feat. So we actually had the original scripts with David or Harold's notations on them. So I had a pretty good idea of how they shot it. And I did my best to replicate that with the blocking, so sort of reverse blocking from what someone else had camera scripted. Also, obviously, all three scripts have been published in a book. And I think it was Loneliness, Long Distance Walker. We also found a filming script for it. So there were multiple sources for all of them. And no one of them was the sort of, apart from the off-air audio recording, no one of them was really the definitive, which gave us a little bit of flexibility. And it was interesting to see how, with the Loneliness and Long Distance Walker, when the filming script turned up, and that turned up fairly late, those amendments had been made from the published script, and indeed from the PSB. When they were actually filming, they had certain things to cope with and deal with, which meant that they had to think on their feet. There was a scene where, in the published script, Walker gets called up, joins the army, and there was a montage of him being called up. In one part of that montage in the published script was he goes and gets a haircut and a full shave with sideburns. Now, clearly that would have been rather difficult in terms of continuity for us to have slipped in the right place in the recording of three episodes. So I was slightly concerned about that, and I had long conversations with our makeup designer about how we could achieve that, when suddenly the filming script turned up. And actually, in the filming script, it had been changed. So instead of having his hair cut, he actually stands in a queue with a sign saying barber. And then someone comes out with an incredibly short haircut, and Walker does a double take and scarpers as he hears a voice saying, "Next, please." So they'd rewritten it, presumably for the same reasons that we would have found it difficult to shoot. So there were multiple sources of script, which was great, because it meant that from all the people like yourself who are experts in the Dad's Army Appreciation Society, who I knew would be there, that I knew I couldn't, I couldn't be held to account for not being truthful, because we had all of the different sources. And actually, Tom Weber and I and Candy discussed the various options for each of those, and we decided on the one which, frankly, which we found the funniest. And went with that. So you're pretty safe, I think, there. I can imagine, you know, Jimmy wouldn't have much argument with that, I wouldn't think. Again, the issues we had there were artist availability, as is always the case. You know, when have you got them? And when have you got the ones you need under contract and available to you? So we ended up doing most of the location was actually at Pinewood. We did spend a day at an Army Reserve Centre in Clapham, ostensibly doing the Walker signing up montage interiors. But the exterior for the Walker signing up was actually one of the old buildings at Pinewood. And the exterior for the medical center was back of the canteen at Pinewood. So it was a slight mix and match, but the interior location filming was an Army Reserve Center in Clapham, and the exterior location filming was all at Pinewood. And obviously all the studios were at Pinewood. And in Under Fire, the exterior of the house is indeed studio, and the church roof. But I think people realise that. I think we were particularly blessed with the three episodes that were lost and that we were able to remake. We had a wonderful mix of show within those three episodes of series two. You know, Stripe for Fraser, which we shot first, was three long scenes, each about 10 minutes long, all in the main set. So that was the one we started with, because we figured in many ways it was the simplest, albeit the longest. And it was perhaps better to have Kevin remember all those lines right at the beginning, so he had more time to learn them. So Stripe for Fraser was done first. That was three scenes in the main set. Then we did Walker. Walker was 26 minutes long as opposed to 33 minutes for the first one. So much shorter, but it actually had 22 scenes in it, including this huge location montage and some pre-records. So that was a very different kettle of fish in terms of filming and rehearsing. And then with Under Fire, obviously that was the last of the series. So there's a big special, as it were. We brought that in pretty much exactly as they had in terms of duration, roughly 27 minutes. It goes to show you the difference, doesn't it? 26, 17 to 33, 30. You wouldn't get away with that these days. With Under Fire, there were nine scenes, I think it was, and fire and explosion and water and stunts and bicycles and all the rest of it. So it was a lovely, real treat to do the show, but particularly to have three scripts which were so different from each other. And I think the cast really appreciated that too. And it gave us a chance to really bring to life what Jimmy used to call sort of action comedy. In terms of bloopers, there were a lot. I think some of them are on a YouTube channel actually. An awful lot of lines and confusion of Walker to Wilson, both beginning with W. And I think Kevin McNally, who was brilliant as Mannering and had so many lines to learn, it was untrue, did an extraordinary job. But he did occasionally get Wilson and Walker confused because he knew it was a W. But actually, you know, when people mess up the lines and forget and what have you and corpse, it's very much part of the joy of an audience recording, and it helps relax not only the cast, but also the audience. On the DVD release and Blu-ray are not only the fabulous episodes, of course, which we hope you enjoy as much as we enjoyed making them, but also some cast interviews and some of the wonderful outtakes which we had, and quite a lot, I think, of photographs of us stumbling along to make it all. But it was, you know, to summarise the shooting of it, it was a dream come true for most of the people involved. I can't think there's anyone who wasn't pinching themselves when they first walked into that studio and saw that set, because it was walking into a part of your own television viewing history. So there were tears, and quite a lot of tears from quite a lot of people you wouldn't normally expect them, cast and crew alike. And I remember wanting to play in, because I always like to play in the titles for a studio audience. I think it really helps get you in the mood. And I wanted to show the cast what the titles and the end credits look like, because I was aware that otherwise they'd be scrabbling off the set to have a look at themselves, top and tail of the show. And playing in those opening titles and end credits with that wonderful music just was just indescribable. It was amazing to run a VT as a director and to have it with that music, with that much history and fondness of the nation towards it, was something incredibly special. Yeah, we were thrilled. I mean, we were obviously worried when we came to that first studio record. We had the estate of Jimmy and David were there. A couple of the original cast were there. We had the Dad's Army Appreciation Society and the Channel were all at that first record. So we were a little bit nervous, as you can imagine. But they're all very complimentary. And actually, I think the work we did to make it as close to the original as we possibly could paid off. And it was very well reviewed in the press. I've got the reviews in front of me, I should have dug them up, but you know, the Sunday Express, the Telegraph, the Mirror, the TV Times, the Radio Times, the Daily Express, the Weekend Daily Mail, the Telegraph, etc., all five stars, etc., you know, particularly remarking on the cast and how great they were. And I would agree. And I think, you know, every department really embraced the challenge and pulled out all the stops. That's literally everyone involved did a really first-class job and felt that they had to because they owed it. No, I think at the end, we were all desperate to do more. You know, we'd come very quickly, became a really tight company and would love to have had the opportunity to have done more. Clearly it's hard to lose episodes. I think what we absolutely weren't going to do was to do more episodes newly written, because that just felt wrong. There were a couple of little bits which have been wiped. So it was a Royal Variety performance and a Christmas, a short sketch done for a Christmas special at one point, neither of which had survived, but we had the scripts for them. We put those to, I think, UK TV right at the beginning, and they said they weren't up for those. I suspect after the event, once they realized how good it was and how well done, they probably would have jumped at the chance of having them. But beforehand, they, you know, just do the three, you know. all of us, everybody was saying it afterwards, you know, in the green room, what a shame there aren't any more. Can't we just go back in time and lose a few more? Frank, absolutely. What did I say here? They've captured the essence of the show. It was quite incredible. I truly think if they're around to see it, Croft and Perry would approve. So that was what Frank said about it, which was, as you can imagine, hugely relieving. I think he's right. You know, I knew Jimmy and I worked with Jimmy and not David. I'd never met David, but I absolutely felt Jimmy's presence on my shoulder the whole time. And I think he'd be very pleased. Back in the day when they shot the original, they just shot it. You know, they had no messing around. They knew what they were doing. They were very, very efficient. David was incredibly efficient taskmaster. They would generally be finished at, you know, 8:30 and up in the bar. I think under fire, they gifted themselves. The only addition was one extra camera. And that camera was actually doing a shot of the fire elsewhere, which was superimposed on the live studio recording in order that they would achieve the fire. We cheated a bit. We did a pre-recording around that, as you saw, because actually the health and safety rules have changed a little since those days. And what with all the tripping over and falling and water and all the rest, it was it would have been a very, very long night for a studio audience to sit. And sometimes these things work better when they've had a little bit of editing together before the audience see them. But it was a fun evening. I did enjoy After Fire. We actually managed to sneak into that episode's Stupid Boy for Kevin McNally. He'd said to me, you know, would you mind? And Tom and I had a chat. And we concluded that it would sort of be rude not to. And we chatted to Candy and she was very much the same mind. So we snuck in a little Stupid Boy, which wasn't in the original. But as you can imagine, got a huge response and felt very apt. You know, it wasn't out of context and it wasn't just sort of sledgehammered in. It felt like it was very much a part of what should be said, along with Kevin Eldon and his Don't Panic and I Don't Like It Up 'Em. You know, he got a chance to say both of those. It's a great pleasure. Lovely to meet you, Andrew. If you think old England,